Apostle Paul declared that he knew whom he had believed and was persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We've been trying to make that our charge. I've been trying to make that my personal set of instructions and beliefs and convictions in the day and time in which we're living. We've been trying to bring it before you each one of these Sundays in hopes that it might be your charge, the words that you live your life by. We know him. We know Jesus. If you're saved, we know him personally. In our salvation, we have believed him. We have received his words, his promises. In our salvation, we committed unto him several things for his keeping, and his keeping those things until we're in his presence. And those words are words of confidence. We know whom we have believed in. We are persuaded, we are totally convinced and convicted that he is able to keep that which I have, what we have committed to him until we're in his presence. Wednesday night, we looked at the rapture from Revelation 4:1. And that day is a reality. That day is truth. That day is coming. When the Lord's going to shout, the trumpets are going to sound, God's people are going to go up forever to be with the Lord. And until that day, we need to have confidence that everything we've committed unto him and to his keeping, he will keep. And not only that he will keep, but he is able. He is able. This morning we go right to the book of Hebrews chapter 7. And we build upon this thought from 2 Timothy 1:12. And today we're looking at, he is able to save to the uttermost. He is able to save to the uttermost. And I believe the principal thought, the key to that statement, we believe he's able to save to the most, has particularly to do again with this life, our walk here, that period of time between our salvation and our deliverance from this kingdom. It's during this life, I believe we need to understand, he is able to save us to the uttermost. In this life, your day-to-day life, you need to believe he is able to save you to the uttermost. Let's read verse 23 through 28 of Hebrews chapter 7. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, Jesus, our Savior, Christ. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. He is able to save them to the uttermost. Believe this thought of Him saving us, being able to save us to the uttermost, speaks of a much deeper faith, much deeper salvation than we consider on average. It's not just talking about His ability to save us from the wages of sin, but this being able to save us to the uttermost has to do with His being able to save us from the very chains of sin. From the very chains of sin. When the Lord saved you, He granted you repentance. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sins were forgiven. You were saved. You were saved from the wages of sin, which is death. You have eternal life. But is that it? Is there anything more? Is that all we're to consider? That He saved us from our sins? He saved us from the penalty of our sins, which was death. He's given us eternal life. Is there nothing more? Is there nothing more? Is that the whole definition of being saved? I'm saved. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's forgiven me. I have eternal life. Is there nothing concerning this life to be considered? Is there nothing concerning this life that He's not saving us from? Is there nothing about what He is doing in our lives today? Is none of that part of our salvation? Look at John chapter 10. Hold your place. We're coming back to Hebrews, but notice the words of Jesus Christ. John chapter 10. Verse number 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now listen to the words of Christ here in the last part of verse number 10 of John 10. I am come that they might have life. Is that it? There's nothing more? There's something more in there. He came not only that we might have life, that we might be saved, that we might be born again, that we might become the children of God. He came not only that we might have life, but He goes on to say there in verse number 10, and that they might have life, they might have it more abundantly. There's something more there. And the Lord just saving us from the penalty of sin. I believe back in our text of Hebrews chapter 7 that there is in these words, He is able to save us to the uttermost. We find words that Christ speaks concerning His work in the lives of His people in saving them from the power of sin. Not just the penalty of sin, not just forgiving us, giving us eternal life, but He is able to save us beyond that. He's able to save us, and He's able to work miraculously in our lives here. And now, in our passage of Scripture, I believe there's more emphasis on Christ's work as the high priest than it is in reference to Christ as our Savior. He says in this passage of Scripture, He is able to save them. I believe that's speaking of saved folks in the context. He's able to save them to the uttermost, beyond forgiveness, beyond giving them eternal life, beyond saving them and assuring them that their names are written in heaven. Beyond that, He is able to save them to the uttermost. He is able to save them that come unto God by Jesus Christ, the great intercessor. He ever lives to make intercessions for them. He is able to save them to the uttermost, them that come to God by Him. He ever lives to make intercession for them. And this intercession, I think, can be seen eternally, of course. But the emphasis of our text has to do with this life. He intercedes for us now. When we come to God in and through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we do before God, everything that we approach God with or concerning is in the name of Jesus Christ. He is the great high priest. He is the intercessor. And He is able to save us to the uttermost. Not just save us from our sin, save us from the penalty of sin, and give us forgiveness and eternal life. But He's able to save us even beyond that. And much of that is in reference to today. This life, the life that we live since we've committed unto Him those things that can be seen in 2 Timothy 1:12. He is able to save them to the uttermost. One of the things that impresses upon my mind is He's able to save us from being bound. He's able to save us from being bound to committing sin day after day after day. He's able to save us from being bound to committing the same sin day after day after day. He has saved us. Forgiven us, given us eternal life, but He also needs to be seen as being able to save us from committing the same sin or committing sin day after day. What's your average day like? Be honest with yourself. Nobody's going to know what you're thinking. So think openly, think honestly. What is each day of your life like? Is your life one day after another of doing the same things, being plagued by the same sins, having the same wicked thoughts, having the same wicked desires? Do you find yourself just day after day after day repeating the practice of sin? Well, He is able to save us to the uttermost. He is able to save us from that bondage. It's not right. It's not normal. For one day to be just like the next, and our wrestling with the same sins day after day after day, and our committing the same sins day after day after day. He didn't come to save us to go through that. He came to save us to the uttermost. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 through 14. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, dead indeed unto sin. Are you dead to sin? Or are you rehashing your sins day after day after day, reliving your sins, repeating the pattern? We're to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin, alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Don't let sin reign. So how come day after day after day you keep repeating the same sins? You keep on having the same thoughts, the same lusts, the same desires. Keep making the same mistakes. You're not listening. We're not listening to what the Word of God has to say, and we're not believing He is able to deliver us. He's able to save us to the uttermost. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you. So why does it seem to have dominion over you? Why do you deal with the same temptations every day? Why do you find yourself these many years after the day the Lord saved you still committing habitual sins? Take the Ten Commandments. Why do you find yourself breaking those on a regular basis? Is He not able to save you to the uttermost? Is He not able to save you from that bondage? Does He not call us to be free of that bondage? Is He not able to save us from being bound to the committing of the same sins over and over and over again? See, I think a lot of God's people saw themselves as sinners, repented of their sins, put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord saved them, forgave them, gave them eternal life, and immediately, right out of the gate, they plateaued. And they stopped there. And their life as a Christian isn't much different than the life they lived before they were a Christian. Because right out of the gate, they plateaued and they didn't keep going up. They didn't understand the warnings here in the book of Romans chapter 6. They don't understand, maybe to this day. If you're saved, He has saved you from your sins, given you forgiveness, given you eternal life. But that's not all there is to your salvation. He's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to save His people, those that come to God by Him as our intercessor. He's able to save us to the uttermost. Is that your testimony? Is that your life? Experiencing His salvation to the uttermost. Or is one day just like the day that came before, and every day that's going to come just like the ones that have passed? You're doing the same things, committing the same sins, progressing along nowhere. He is able to save to the uttermost. Chapter 8 of Romans, verse 13 and 14. For if we live, in verse 13 of chapter 8, for if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He's able to save us from being bound to committing the same sins day after day after day. He's also able to save us from the root cause of sin. The root cause. Whatever sin is a problem for you in your life, whatever temptation, whatever lust, whatever passion, whatever just constantly keeps repeating itself. Those are just signs and symptoms. They're not the root problem. Maybe the root problem is the flesh. Maybe the root problem is we forget. Yes, we're saved, but we're still in the flesh. And that flesh is still depraved. And that flesh is still, and that depravity is still the root of our problems. All the sins we commit are because of the flesh, our depravity. It's all because of the old man that we drag around every day that we go through this life. Well, he is able to save to the uttermost. He's able to save us from the bondage of committing the same sin over and over and over again. He's able to save us from the root cause. The flesh can be put to death. The flesh can be controlled. The depravity of the flesh can be brought under the control of Jesus Christ. As we approach the Father, in the name of His Son, He makes intercession for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yea, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He's able to save us to the uttermost. Through Christ we're able to overcome our lusts, our passions. Did you notice there in that 37th verse? Doesn't say that we're just conquerors. We're not just conquerors. We're not just saved. He didn't just give us life. But He's able to save us to the uttermost. We're not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. First John chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. First John 1, verse 8 through 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. He is able to save to the uttermost. He's able to save us from being bound to commit the same sins over and over again. He's able to save us from the root cause of our sins. He's able to help us overcome the lusts. That so easily affect our lives. And through Him, we're able to overcome the guilt of practicing sin. Because through Him, who is able to save us to the uttermost, we cease to be practicers of sin. But we do stumble and fall because we're still in the flesh. And He's able to save us to the uttermost in that He's able to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. This is talking about a child of God in the course of their life. He is able to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from most unrighteousness, some unrighteousness. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've seen this thought a lot lately. And we don't fully appreciate little words like that all. Well, we don't believe in sinless perfection. Well, it says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's sin and unrighteousness we've committed since or after salvation. That's sin and unrighteousness that we might find ourselves committing on a day-to-day basis. He's able to save us to the uttermost. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all those sins. I don't want to get bogged down into the depths of these truths. But when the Lord saved us, he forgave us all of our sins, gave us eternal life. He forgave us of all our sins, past, present, and future. They're all taken care of in Christ. But once the Lord saves us, we are still prone from time to time to sin. We confess those sins. It doesn't affect our salvation. Those sins don't affect our salvation. But if we confess our sins, those things we do after the Lord has saved us, we confess that he's faithful and just and to cleanse us of all that unrighteousness. He's able to save to the uttermost. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. He's able to save us and forgive us or cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Along those same lines, as we think about being saved to the uttermost, we find a word here in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, we're not real comfortable with. We read quickly past. We don't consider it possible. Do you know what word I'm talking about here in Hebrews 6, verse 1? Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, it's coming. Pay attention. We're saved. We're forgiven. We have eternal life. We've taken the principal steps, profession, baptism. But he saves us to the uttermost. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 tells us to leave, not to forget, not to discard, not to throw them away as though they're worthless, but to move on to that area of uttermost we're talking about this morning. And being saved to the uttermost has to do with that word none of us really like to consider because we don't think it's possible. He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us who are saved, let us go on unto, there it is, perfection. Oh, I'm not perfect. I'll never be perfect. So does that qualify you to dismiss this thought that he's not only able to save us, but to save us to the uttermost, does that give you the right to disqualify? I've come not just that they might have life, but they might have life more abundant. I don't think so. Being saved is a work of God's grace, and it is eternal, and it can never be taken away from us. But he's not only in the saving business, but he's in the saving under the uttermost business. Leaving those principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptism, laying hands of hands, and the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. Philippians 3 has similar instruction in verse 12 through 13. James chapter 1, verse 4 has similar instruction. We must believe, be convicted, be convinced that he is able to keep those things which we have committed unto him when he saved us. He's going to keep those things until we're in his presence. And as we're on this journey to his presence, he's able to keep his promises. He's able to do all that we ask or think. He's able to keep us from stumbling. He's able to help us and to aid us and to succor us. And he's able to save us to the uttermost. We need to get up off the bump. Stop. We need to stop being a bump on the log or do nothing. That land of plateauing. And we need to be fully convinced he's able to save us to the uttermost. He's able to save us from that perpetual habit of day after day, the same sins, the same temptations, giving in to them. And you know what I'm talking about. There's two people your life isn't a secret to. It's not a secret to God. Here's a newsflash. Your life isn't a secret to yourself. You know the sins you have a problem with. You know those things that habitually come up. You know those things that you just keep repeating day after day after day. You know that although you've been saved and you know you're saved and you believe you're saved, you're not experiencing that salvation which is to the uttermost. He's able to save us from being bound to committing the same sin over and over again. He's able to save us from the root cause of sin. He's able to overcome the lusts that so easily plague us. He's able to deliver us and overcome the guilt that comes from the practice of sin. He's able to take us from this plateau where we should never have stopped. He's able to take us on unto perfection. And are you working on that? Are you working on that? Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, talking to the saved folks, isn't he? Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Look at the instructions given here by the Apostle Paul to the Philippians. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Salvation is something God works and wroughts within us. But once we've been saved, salvation is something we work out. That's part of this being saved to the uttermost. There's more to our salvation than just forgiveness and eternal life and our waiting for the Lord to come. He's able to save us to the uttermost while we are here, while we journey, while we live, while we serve Him. Get off of that plateau where salvation is something you have inside. Start letting Him save you to the uttermost. Start letting Him work out. Bring it out into the light. Bring it out where it's plainly seen. Let Him work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We came through Philippians a while back, last year I think it was, or later. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Verse 13. For or because it is God which works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He is able to save us moment by moment, day by day, year by year. He's able to save us till we see Christ. He's able to save us and deliver us into eternity. But He's also able to save us to the uttermost. He ever lives to make intercession for us when we come to God by Him. He ever lives to intercede for us. He is able. He's able to save us from being bound by the habitual committing of sin day after day after day. He's able to save us from the root cause of sin. He's able to overcome our lusts and our passions. He's able to overcome any guilt we have from practicing sin because He's faithful and just to forgive us. And we confess and forsake. He's able to take us on to perfection. He's able to work out with fear and trembling our salvation. He's able to bring it right on out there in the plain sight where everybody can tell there's a child of God. He is able. That's where we began. He's able to keep that which we've committed unto Him until that day. But until that day, He's able to save us to the uttermost. That's a fuller, that's a deeper, it's a more experienced salvation. Repentance and belief, salvation, forgiveness, eternal life. They're ours. Nobody can take those from us. But He goes far beyond that in this thought of He's able. He's able. Let's stand together.